introduce David, Pastor David Beck. David Beck has pastored many years before he came here, and we are very thankful for the word that he always brings us, and member here of Liberty Life, and he teaches a really good class, or has in his home a good class right now on membership, and we would, he's always welcome. So him and Debbie always welcome people in their home. They are such hospitable people. They are indeed. David always carries a strong word, and we are blessed. How many of you are blessed to have David and Debbie back with us? Amen, amen. So David, turn your mic on there and preach it, brother.
Well, thanks to our beloved pastor, I can probably skip my whole first page of notes. I'm getting glory bumps. That's amazing. Didn't it? It happened once before. Stanley talked about something before the worship team stepped down that was in the message God gave me, and I thought, wow, that's really something. And God asked me, well, David, do you think you're exclusive? I can give this to anyone I choose. Amen. Well, the first thing Pastor mentioned was the weather. And I was going to mention the weather. And living in this part of the country, we know it can change very suddenly. And we're experiencing that now. I've heard some say it should be cooler than it is. I'm fine with this. I am, and the older I get, the more layers I put on. But, and some of the other changes I was going to mention was changing our clocks. Now, I like this one. When we move the clock back. Yes. That extra hour seems like such a long time.
Yes. It does.
Yeah. We change our plans, don't we? We have something we think we're going to do, and we change our plans for one reason or another. We change our minds. Oh, well, you know, I decided not to do that. I've changed my mind on that. We change jobs. Unless you're retired. And sorry. And we change vehicles. We change cars. We recently did that. And I know others have. And I tell you what, even if it's not brand new, the technology is such a change. We were driving along for the first couple of months. We had this vehicle, and it would make a noise. And Debbie would say, what's that mean? And I said, well, we get home, I'll look it up. Because I don't know. Or how do you turn that off? Can it be turned off? We change our diet. Sometimes because we want to. Other times we need to. And sometimes because we should. And a lot of times we move and have to change our address. Aren't you glad God always knows where you are? The post office may not be able to find you, but God knows right where you are. And here at church, Pastor mentioned the parking lot. It's being changed. We have a nice fenced-in area over there that's been changed. We have these neat new remote control locks on the doors. And by the way, that's not the back door. That's the front door. I finally found that out. When I stood there, I don't know how long. Finally, I called Fred. He got me straightened out. Well, David, you're at the front door. No, I'm not. But I was. So anyway, and other things here at the church, we have different worship team members. That will change sometimes. Periodically, deacons are changed and elders. And of course, we have a big change coming in our pastor. Another change. And people change. Pastor mentioned Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. We talk about the different seasons in our lives. And even though I'm entering this wonderful season of retirement, along with that comes a season of being a senior citizen. I don't get asked anymore to prove that I'm over 65. Now, Debbie still could get asked. She doesn't look that old. Another point for me. But as we age, Pastor mentioned our hair, when we still have it, changes. It changes color. It won't style like it did when we were getting ready to go to school in the morning, does it? It's if it's there, it won't do what we want it to do. We have other things that occur in our bodies as we get older, physical changes. Well, I never hurt there before. And, of course, don't complain to your spouse because they're probably going through the same thing. And earlier I mentioned that we change our mind. Well, when you get older, your mind changes when you don't want it to. You forget what you decided or what you talked about, or was I coming in this room or was I leaving this room?
How was I looking for?
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, then you go ask your spouse, how would I know? I'm trying to remember what I was doing. And people ask us, when we tell them we're retired, don't you get bored? Every day's an adventure in our house. Every day is an adventure. So many changes. Some people try to delay the changes in their physical makeup with drugs and surgery. Well, our great physician can make changes in our bodies without surgery or drugs. That's his business. On the, I don't want to call, a little darker side, so many people have decided to change their sexual preference. Uh-oh. And many even try to change their gender. I say try to change their gender, because I don't care how much they change their physical appearance, it doesn't change who they are. It doesn't change who they are. Amen. And that's very dangerous. Very dangerous, not just physically and medically, but spiritually. It's very dangerous. It's as if they're standing before God and saying, you made a mistake. You didn't know what you were doing. That's very dangerous ground to be on. And so there's so many changes going on, so many things occurring in our lives, new ideas, different ideas. Folks, we need something constant. We need something solid.
Yes.
Pastor mentioned it when he was talking to the young people. So I have a question for you. Does God change?
No.
Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I am the Lord, I do not change. And I was talking to Pastor about this one earlier this morning, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't vary. He doesn't change with the circumstances. He does not change. My God is still righteous.
Amen.
That's who He is. It's not what He does. It's His character. It's who He is. He's as holy as He ever was.
Amen.
He was holy yesterday. He's holy today. And He'll be holy forever.
Hallelujah.
Even though man's standards have gotten all mixed up, turned upside down, and there's so much sin accepted, so much ungodliness is considered okay now, my God's standards haven't changed.
That's right.
His standards have not changed. He hasn't changed to accommodate these ungodly lifestyles in our world today. And He will not change. there has been no update on the Word of God. I thought about some of the apps we have on our phone. And what version are you running? Oh, I'm running 11.0 or 12.0. God's holiness has not been updated to 2.0. It's still 1.0. His holiness hasn't changed. And this is the God, think about this, this is the God that we can call and should call Father. This is my Father. He's always right. My dad in the natural was right almost all the time. But my Heavenly Father is always right. And you know, I can go before Him anytime. Yes. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It doesn't say when you're at Liberty Life, you can go to the throne of grace. When you go in your closet, you can go to the throne of grace. Wherever you are, you can go to the throne of grace. In Hebrews 11, there's a couple of verses I wanted to mention. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. I think about playing hide and go seek with the grandkids, and there was times we couldn't find them. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he did all kinds of good works in order to make God approve of him. No, that's not what it says. He pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Where it says must believe that he is, in some translations it says must believe that he exists. You can't go to someone you don't believe exists. But as I looked at that, I thought, must believe that he is. That he is what? And I heard one preacher say one time, he is, and just put a blank line there. Now this is where we're going to have some audience participation. But first, when I thought about filling in that blank, he is, as far as who God is to you, and be thinking about that, our beloved pastor says God is good. Is Sister Shirley here?
No.
No. Okay. Wednesday night, and oftentimes in Bible study, we hear Sister Shirley say, God is
faithful.
Amen. So if I was to ask you to fill in that blank, God is, and you can speak up if you want to, what would you say?
Everything.
Father.
Father.
Loving.
What?
My all in all.
All in all.
Everything.
Everything. That's our, sounds like our grandson, everything.
Somewhat.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Loving.
The great I am.
Yes, the great I am.
Mm-hmm.
More.
Lord.
Lord. Yeah. More's good too. Lord. Carrie.
Ever present.
Omniscient. Omnipresent.
Chainbreaker.
Yes.
Woo!
You, by the way, you'll note what?
Loving.
Loving. I'm not wearing handcuffs today. I'm still free. And I promise I won't take my... He's what?
He's my Savior.
Mine too. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm not wearing I'm not going to take my shirt off and show you a t-shirt that I bought. I'm not going to promise you there's not going to be a prop. We'll see. But you just became a great prop when you participated. Amen. There's some places I could go and I wouldn't have heard anything. But that's okay. Praise the Lord. Some of the words that I thought of that I don't think were said was omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal, in control. He's jealous. He is jealous of you. He's a consuming fire. If you're an unbeliever, that should make you shake in your boots. If you're a believer, you should rest in the contentment that he's going to take out the impurities in your life. He is the God of resurrection. He's the God who raised the dead, is still raising the dead, and will raise the dead. That's our God of resurrection. He is greater. Well, I thought of one, and this is the title of the message, if I had a title. He's still God. God is still God. He doesn't change, but he changes things. Right? He does. When he causes change, he brings change. When he makes his presence known, change happens. You experience that at Bible study. We experience it at life group. We experience it in worship service, nurture class. His presence causes change. His presence alone demands change. His presence commands change. So he is all of those things. Throughout Scripture, we see God change circumstances or change the situation so the outcome is different. I love the two words, but God.
Yes.
You know, we were all dead in trespasses and sins, but God. Amen. Amen. But God, who is still God, steps in and he alters the normal course of events. That's a miracle. When things are headed in a certain direction and you expect something to happen, maybe it's something dreary, a bad diagnosis, when God steps in and alters that, that's a miracle.
Yes, amen.
He changes things. In Genesis 20, there's a story, and I've just got a few things written down. I'm not going to go into detail. But Abraham and Sarah are at this, I think, King Abimelech's palace. And Abraham's afraid. Evidently, Sarah's a beautiful woman. And he's afraid that the king's going to kill him so he can have Sarah. So Abraham comes up with a great idea. He told the king, "She's my sister." Well, that was sort of true because I think they had the same father but different mothers. But he said, "She's my sister." So the king decided, oh, well, if that's his sister, then I don't have to kill Abraham. I can just go have her for myself anyway. That night. But God intervened in a dream and told Abimelech, if you so much as touch this woman, you're a dead man. I have never known a woman other than my wife, that it would be worth dying for. I about tripped up on that one. And it would still take a lot of thought. But so the king decided, nope, it's not worth it. So God stepped in and protected Sarah. Despite Abraham's fear, his ignorance, his failure, and his deceit. And think about it. Sarah was going to bear Isaac, the son of promise, by Abraham. God was not going to allow the enemy to change that. He was not going to let the enemy change that. Satan had an agenda and a plan to disrupt what God was going to do, but God had made a promise. And his promises are yea and amen. The enemy's plan was stopped so that God's plan could be fulfilled.
Yes, hallelujah.
Satan doesn't fight by the rules, does he?
No.
No. But God does put limits on him. I believe that.
Yes.
I believe that. In the 31st chapter of Genesis. I think I gave Vicki this one, 31:6. This is Jacob talking. He says, "You know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me." This man had been deceitful to Jacob. He was overworked, underpaid, kept deceiving him. But Jacob said, "God did not allow him to hurt me." Praise the Lord. And then, so God stepped in and he provided. And then in verse 13, "I am the God of Bethel." In other words, Jacob, I'm still God.
That's right.
I'm still God. "Where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me." And that was Bethel or Bethel, where Jacob had built an altar. "Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family." But the point is, he says, "I am still that same God that you met at Bethel. I haven't changed." David, the same God that delivered you from everything in your past is the same God that will deliver you from everything that's going to come against you now.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I am still God.
Yes.
Still God.
Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so many times God's people are not treated very well, whether it's at work or in their family. I think of when I was working, and it felt like so many times you were overworked and underpaid, and then you were overtaxed.
Yes, true.
You were deceived, you were demoted, you were given things to do that weren't supposed to be your responsibility, but God always stepped in and provided. He always stepped in and provided, because he's still God. He's still the God who provides. He's still Jehovah Jireh, right? Praise the Lord. I thought about Israel in the wilderness, and I don't know, we've got a whiteboard down in the nurture classroom where we just finished our study on walking with God in the desert. And we were talking about God's supernatural provision, and I am almost to the point of being obsessed with numbers sometimes. But I had read a devotional talking about God's supernatural provision and the fact that there's disagreement on how many people there were that left Egypt. Estimates range from 1 million to 3 million. So I went with 1 million. Do you know, if there were 1 million people in the wilderness, do you know how much manna was on the ground every day? 100,000 bushels. Every day. 100,000 bushels. Do you know how much water it would take for those people? Well, I couldn't find anything that said how much water, so I thought, okay, I know what we're supposed to drink, but let's see. If 4 people shared a gallon of water each day, and that's not much water, especially in the desert, 250,000 gallons of water a day. And that's not counting the animals or cooking or anything else they would use water for. Do you know that in 40 years, now remember, they were there 40 years, the manna would have amounted to 1.5 billion bushels of manna. That's supernatural. That's God.
Yes.
And 3.5 billion gallons of water. And it was probably a lot more than that. Jesus fed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a supernatural provision. And the neat thing about that is there were leftovers.
Yes.
There was leftovers from that. And oh, we love leftovers at our house. And there's been so many other times in Scripture where God steps in and changes the situation and changes the circumstances for his people. But what if the circumstances don't change? Does that mean that God's on a break?
No.
Does that mean he's AWOL?
No.
Is he out to lunch?
No.
Never.
Is he too busy for you?
No.
Does he not care?
Yes.
Does that mean he's changed?
No.
You know, I wonder about this when I see what different ones are going through. And it grieves my heart. And we pray, we take these needs to the Lord, and we believe. We believe and we know he is the God who heals.
Yes.
He's the God who intervenes and changes things. But if he doesn't change the situation or the circumstances in my life right away, maybe he wants to change me. Maybe he wants to change me and show me something I haven't seen before, draw me closer to him than I've ever been before. Maybe he's trying to change me, give me a deeper understanding of who he is and who I am. Praise the Lord. We had a special speaker here a couple of times named Bob Sorge. I remember thinking, Lord, why don't you heal him? But then I thought, okay, he is ministering despite that handicap.
That's right.
No, David, take it to another level. He's ministering because of that handicap.
Oh, yeah.
His ministry is so strong, and he's in such victory. And if you ever get the chance to read his little book, Sometimes We Need Trials. That's a hard one. It's easy to say, but hard to believe. Sometimes we need trials because God's omniscient. That's true. He knows all things. But he also knows me. He knows you, Jamie. He knows you, Dolly. He knows you, Chris. He knows us so intimately. He knows what we need in order to change us. Regardless of the circumstances, God is still God. And he may be wanting to change us. So I realized, all right, yeah, I need to be changed. And I can be changed. And I should be changed. You know, as God works in my life and in my circumstances, in order to change me, what he's doing, we read in Scripture, is we are being changed into the very image of Christ himself. Whew. That's something that's almost too hard to believe, almost too amazing to believe. What a hope we have to be like him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to be like him, to have that hope to be changed to him, into his very image. And I look at myself and I think, you know, sometimes it seems, there's no way. That's impossible. Well, to me it is. Is it too? And I think, Lord, there's too much left to do for God. David, listen to what you've just said. It's not too much for him. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
Is his arm ever shortened?
No.
He is going to complete the work that he started in me and in you. And we're to be confident of that. We're to be sure of that. You know, with God, all things are possible. All things were possible with God, with Israel in the desert. All things were possible with God 2,000 years ago. All things are still possible with God today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
He hasn't changed. He's still God. Earlier, we talked about the weather and how it changes suddenly sometimes. We can be having, it's like you're out on a nice, calm, peaceful, sunny, quiet day, and all of a sudden, in a matter of minutes, the wind's blowing, rain's blowing, thunder, lightning, temperature drops. Storms come in pretty quickly. They do in our lives too, don't they?
Yeah.
Storms can come in unannounced. Lord, I'd like some warning on that so I can prepare. No, the storms come in so suddenly, and we can go from such a calm, peaceful time to where it seems like everything around us is spinning. Everything is just in turmoil, like severe weather. We didn't get a severe weather alert, did we? No, it just happened, and it just came in, and it came in quickly. And the storms of life beat down on us, but there is a place of peace, and that's in Christ.
Amen.
Even in the storm. There was a song out a few years ago, and I'm not going to sing it. You can amen to that. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. He is our storm shelter. He is our storm shelter. And when those cold winds of adversity blow, he's our warming shelter. Which is coming up, by the way. Praise the Lord. Anyway, because of what God is and because he hasn't changed, because he's still God, and he's changing us into the very image of Christ, we have a pretty bright future, don't we?
Yes.
You know, I thought about Jesus. In Hebrews it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked forward to the joy set before him. Think about this. He was looking forward to that day when he would be joined with his body, the church. He was looking forward to you and me. That was the joy set before him. He was looking forward to the resurrection. He was looking forward to being with his Father, but I also believe he was looking forward to us. He was looking forward to us because we're the joy. Just like a groom looks forward to the bride.
Yes.
The joy set before him. I don't know many grooms that have enjoyed a wedding ceremony, but they'll go through it to get to the bride. Jesus went through hell literally to get us and to pay for our ransom so that we could be with him. So what a future we have. It's wonderful, isn't it? Hopefully things are looking up. Hopefully you're looking up.
Yes.
Looking unto Jesus. I'm looking up. And you know, my future looks bright. It looks glorious.
Yes.
What a day it will be when I reach the point of that final change. When this vile body is fashioned unto a body like his glorious body.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord. So I told my wife I wasn't going to do any props this time. I wasn't going to do any props this time, but I decided something I've mentioned to Jamie many times. My future is so bright. I've got to wear shades. But when we see him face to face, we won't need anything to dim our vision. We won't need to look at a reflection. We'll be looking at him face to face, and we will know him as we are known. You know, I know this because it says it in God's word, and God's word hasn't changed, and God is still God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You gonna invite them to do something here, buddy?
We're gonna have the worship team come up, aren't we? I was too much in a hurry to sit down, wasn't I? I've had these glasses for a long time, and I swore when I was 30 years old, I will never wear those kind of glasses. That's what old men retired in Florida wear. And I discovered that I can put these over my regular glasses, and it's a lot easier than my clip-ons. And as I was studying the past week, I thought about these, and I found them. And I was telling Vicki, I don't know whether to do that or not, because I don't want people to just remember that I put on glasses. I want them to remember that God is still God. He's still in control.
That's right.
All of the other descriptions you all gave of him are still true. His word is still true. There has been no updates. No modifications.
That's right.
To his word. So, want me to invite anyone to come up to be prayed for? If you want to be prayed for, maybe we'd have some from the ministry team come up. And we know here at Liberty Life, we believe in prayer.
Yes.
We're praying to a God who provides.
Yes.
We're praying to a God who heals.
Yes.
We're praying to a God who does not change. We're praying to a God who is always there and always has his ear tuned in to our requests and to our hearts. So please, if you feel like you want to be prayed for, please come up. Please come up.
Amen. David, you just stay up here. Let you be one of those who pray. And I just also say that David is also leading our warming shelter teams here. And I know he's always looking for volunteers. November's here. And we're scheduled 3 times in November. So if you haven't already done so, and that's a wonderful way you can serve in our community, the need is very, very great. So please get with David to be a part of that team and get the training that is needed. But let's just worship the Lord as we're closing here today. And if you need prayer for any situation in your life, whether it's for relationships or healing, or just the battles that maybe you're going through, you want somebody to agree for victory, or you have somebody else that you've been praying for that you want agreement with, just come and get one of these to agree. The Bible says when two on earth agree about anything, it's done by the Father in heaven, who never changes. So let's stand at our feet and let's worship the Lord. And we'll worship here for a bit, and before I'll give a benediction.